Your free online Bible course is about to begin. You can share God's Word with others all around the world by making a gift to BBN. Click Donate now.
The church, as that word is commonly used in public, has a different meaning from what the Bible means. I expect if you were to use the word church in average conversation, someone might think, for instance, of the church as a building, and they would, as one can say, there are three churches in our block, in that sense. The Bible doesn't use the word church that way. Then again, someone might use the word church as referring to a denomination. Say, the Baptist church has so many congregations in this area. Well, the Bible has no denominational references to churches. There are no separations that way. Again, someone might use the word church as a cultural factor, as something working in the community. For instance, one says, the church opposes vice. The churches oppose the sale of alcohol. Well, when you use the word church that way, you're referring to a factor in the community. The Bible never uses the word church that way. Then again, we use the word church, for instance, to refer to all cultural activity. We'll say about a certain period of time, the church was dead in those days. Or the church is very inactive in that part of the country. And by that you mean all the various religious activities. Well, the word church is never used that way in the Bible. Then again, you might use the word church today as a cause. When someone would say that, I'm in favor of promoting the church. And when you would use that, you would say you're in favor of promoting anything that produces the good and the moral or anything along that line. But there again, you have nothing. It's not used that way in the New Testament. And again, one might say, for example, speaking of the church as a pillar of society. For example, you will say that our society rests upon the home, the church, and the school. Well, when you use the word church that way, as one of the factors in building up the civilization that we have, the New Testament never uses the church that way. Now, all these uses that I have sketched here are meaningful. They're all proper enough in their way, but their derived meanings, they've come later. They're not what the Bible means when it uses the word church. The Bible uses the word church, but when it uses the word church, it doesn't use it in any one of those things. The word church, as we have it, was primarily a Greek word, originally a Greek word, and that is to say, it came up in the New Testament. And the word itself in the Greek is ecclesia, E-C-C-L-E-S-I-A. That's the basic word, and that's the word translated church. And incidentally, that very Greek phrase gives the real meaning of the church, because the word ecclesia means the called out ones. And that's the New Testament idea about the believers in Christ. The Bible, the New Testament, in speaking about all the called out ones, those who have been called out to the Lord Jesus Christ, calls them ecclesia. They are the called out ones and are called the church. Someone might say, well, if you're called out, you're called out from what? Well, the Bible would primarily say, called out from the world. And what that really refers to is not so far as location is concerned. You will remember a passage of Scripture that would say something like this, that you are in the world, but not of the world. So that the church remains in the world, but isn't part of the world. And if one was to wonder, how can a thing be in the world and not of the world? Well, a boat is in the lake, but it's not of the lake. As a matter of fact, the only reason the boat's any good is because it's not part of the lake. The minute that the boat and the lake get to be the same thing, it's no good to you. It's only because the boat can ride on the lake, over the lake, that you can use it at all. And so it is with the church. The church is in the world, but it's not of the world. And the word ecclesia refers to this. Not so much is it called out of the world, as I say, so far as location is concerned, but so far as its nature and its life is concerned. And by the way, that does not so much mean that the church is a part of the world made over, as if you were to take part of the world and refine it, or take part of the world and moralize it, or you take part of the world and spiritualize it. And it's that part of the world which is moral and spiritual. That's not the way in which it is either. It's something taken out of, away from, and then you have to think of biblical expressions, because when we use a term like this and feel that we want to define it, we have to ask ourselves, well, how are you so sure that this is the way in which it is? So let us see some instances of people who were called out in the Bible sense of the word. Take the case of Noah. Now, you will remember in Noah's time that the judgment of God had gone out upon the world as it then was, and the whole world was to be destroyed. It was to be destroyed by water. There would be a flood that would destroy the whole world. But Noah was called out of that destruction. God told him what to do, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And although the flood did come, and the flood did destroy, it didn't destroy Noah, because Noah was called out of. And he was, in a sense, if you wanted to use the word singled out, you could use that, but he is separated from the rest of the people by the fact that he did what God told him to do in the making of this ark. Or take the case of Abraham, who is always our outstanding classic example of faith. Actually, even we as Christians are called children of Abraham. And the whole scripture would point to Abraham and say, now there is a man who believed in God. Well, let's take Abraham then. This is it. Come ye out from among them. Come out from your country. Get thee out of thy land, out of thy country, away from thy kindred, into a land that I will show thee. And if there's any one thing true about Abraham, it was that he left behind everything that was his own and came into a new country where he had never been. When you use the word Hebrew in the Old Testament, it may seem strange to people, but actually the word Hebrew in the Old Testament, the word ecclesia in the New Testament, are the nearest alike in their meaning. Because the word Hebrew in the Hebrew language comes from the word that means over. And actually, when you speak of the Hebrew, he's the man from over yonder. You may possibly use that expression sometime and say, well, what about him? Well, he came over from over yonder. You don't know where that was, but he came over. He's an immigrant. And you speak of a man going over, you say over the hill, in your sense of going away. Well, now, Hebrew is a man who came over. And you know, in a strange sense, Abraham, in a rather peculiar way, significant way, Abraham was the world's first recognized immigrant. He left his own country and came out into a new country. Well, you know, that's beginning to point already at what you mean by the church. Because the church, when it's speaking of the New Testament, doesn't only say that we're called out in the word ecclesia, but you will remember, as strangers and pilgrims. You're distinctly told you don't belong here. We are actually told that our citizenship is in heaven. And we're to maintain a relationship to this world, such a relationship as a stranger would have, a pilgrim would have. And when I'm speaking of that in my own thinking, since the word stranger is pretty broad and the word pilgrim we never use, so we'll use the word tourist. And it's just like being a tourist. Well, the one thing about a tourist in the community is the tourist doesn't belong there. He's passing through the community. He obeys the laws of the community, but he's not part of the community. Didn't start from the community, and if he did, he's not going to stay there. He's going to move through it. Well, now, that's the very word that you have here. And for that matter, another big one that we won't be able to go into is the case of Israel herself, or those people, when Israel was called out of Egypt. There you have the very same idea, that God did not try to bring his blessing to Israel in Egypt. It's a very basic idea that you have to come out of the situation that you're in, away from the situation that you're in, that you may come into the blessing of God. And everything that I'm emphasizing this way and the outside happens inwardly in the same way. Actually, so far as each one of us is concerned, if we're going to become members of the church through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're actually going to belong to him. We'll have us an experience of being called out of ourselves to come into the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord prepares the way for that by saying, if any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We're distinctly told to reckon ourselves indeed to be dead unto sin, that we may be alive unto God. In all these various ways, the idea comes out that the word church actually refers to people who have been called out of anything that was natural and ordinary with them into something that God wants them to be. This is the primary meaning of the word church, the called out ones. It's the elementary idea. You start with that. This is not the end toward which church members should seek to arrive at. It isn't that after you've been a member of a church so long, you finally become separated unto Christ. Actually, you start being separated unto Christ. And for that, someone will say, well, how can you start that way without any experience? How can you possibly start being separated unto Christ without having had some kind of preparation? Well, it's very much like getting married. And one of the things that the truth of the matter is, folks can get married without any experience. I'll tell you right now, they can get married without knowing anything about it, many without even thinking much about it, but they can get married. And when once they're married, then that simply means that out of all the group of girls that used to live in that high school campus and so on, this one girl becomes the bride of this one boy. And that, in that sense, she's called out of all the girls she ever knew. She's called out from all of them to be the wife of this particular man. And in that sense, the church is called out of all the world to become the bride of Christ. So that this thing of, as I'm saying, this matter of being married, you can be married without having had any previous experience, but I expect everyone will agree with me that sure enough you get married, you have experience, and experiences follow, and they will follow, and you'll learn a whole lot more about it. But it actually takes place, and it's real from the very outset, so it is a matter of being in the church. Perhaps since the word ecclesia is before us, we should say something about the adjective ecclesiastical. Every now and again you'll hear of it. He's an ecclesiastical officer, or that's an ecclesiastical organization. Now, the adjective ecclesiastical means far less than the word church. It's about twice removed from the original idea. The actual word, adjective, ecclesiastical that we use compared to the ecclesia in the New Testament is at least two full steps away from it. Because the word ecclesiastical refers to the church organization. And actually, that's the church at its poorest. So far as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, it's at the poorest level in its organization. It's at the best level in the heart condition of the people. It's more like the church when the individual member receives the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's more really the church when the individual member worships the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's more really the church when the individual member does the will of his Lord Jesus Christ. And when the individual member feels personally responsible to him. That's when it really is the church. And when you get it out to this organization, this thing that is public and that you have the organization, by that time you've got people in it that don't belong to it. You've got people voting that aren't really Christians. And you'll have people who are voting in there and voting on your ecclesiastical problems who are not dedicated to the Lord, not yielded to the Lord. So I would say the word ecclesiastical, while it does belong to this, and in a very real sense is only like it in this sense, that the word ecclesiastical refers only to the church organization and is used in that way. But the original meaning of the word church is far more fundamental and far more basic in Christian experience than the organization, which, of course, comes later. This matter of being called out to be with him points to the vital heart of the true church of God. The Bible sometimes speaks about the church as the bride of Christ. And this is one name for the church that the whole world would understand. In any culture, in any society, people know what a bride means. And I'm sure the writers of the New Testament had that in mind when they used the word. Because the bride, in any case, is one who belongs to her husband. And in that sense, the church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a very exclusive sense, the church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. The church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ like the church belongs to nothing else on earth. And the church actually, so far as this world is concerned, the church as a group of people who are called out of everything that is natural to live in the Lord Jesus Christ, belong to Him the way they belong to nothing else. And as when a person is a member of the Bride of Christ, there is no organization that one belongs to. There is no society that one is a member of. There is no culture in which you are related. There's no family in which you were born. There are absolutely no other human or otherwise relationships that are to be now considered equal to your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. When a girl marries a man and belongs to him, and when the man marries his wife and belongs to her, and these twain become one flesh, they forsake all else that they should belong together. And so when the Scripture, when the Bible speaks of the church as the Bride of Christ, it has in mind that these individual people belong to Him first, primarily. And that will come up in any claims anything or anybody has. When our Lord Jesus was here upon earth on one occasion, the disciples, certain people came in to him and said, "Your mother and your brethren are outside and they want to talk to you." And he said, "Who is my mother and who are my brethren?" And pointing to his disciples, he indicated that these who do the will of God, this is my mother and these are my brethren. In that way, the Lord Jesus Christ pointed up this exclusive relationship, this completely absorbing relationship, when the Bride of Christ belongs to her Lord. Another thing that comes to your mind immediately when you think about a bride is that she's loved by. Actually, the bride is loved by the husband. It may be that various husbands love to a various extent, but so far as that particular husband is concerned, as much as he can love at all, he'll love his bride. She's got all there is, as far as his heart is concerned. In any way that is proper, that's the way in which we would put it. She's loved by her husband. And the church is loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll remember you read in the Bible that he loved the church and gave himself for it. And this puts a significance upon the church and upon the church member. Any one of us as a member of the church is a person who is loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing that you have in mind with the word bride is that the bride is at the beginning of life with her husband. They're going to live together as neither one of them lived before. They're going to have fellowship in things that neither one of them experienced before. They're going to have fellowships that are involved in a common life. And each of them enter into this. The same thing is true with the church. When you speak of the church as the Bride of Christ, you mean that the individual Christian person is going to enter into a fellowship and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that he has never had before and that will exclude all others and will open up new experiences such as he never could have by himself. And another thing you have in mind is that when you speak of so a certain person, a certain woman, becoming the bride of a certain man, it means she becomes a part of him. Not so much him alone, as the two of them become part of their home, part of their family. So it is with the church. When the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ receives him and enters into fellowship and relationship with him, this believer becomes part of something that never existed before. That's Christ in that person. And if Christ is in me, it means something to me I never had happen before. And it's going to lead me into experiences I never had before. And all of these are included in this expression, the Bride of Christ. Now, when the church is called the Bride of Christ, you'll recognize right away that this emphasizes the personal nature of the relationship. I tell you one thing, anybody gets married, they got married. That person that got married, now they were involved in this thing. And when a man gets married, nobody else but that man got married. When a girl got married, there's no other girl got married but that girl got married. It's very personal. And when a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ, there is then to be a personal thing that nobody else in the church or the community or the meeting or anybody else had that experience that that particular person had. It's personal. In that sense, you could use the term, and you could maybe say about it, that it's singular, in the sense that it's a single relationship that you enter into. And immediately, I want to tell you that it's total. When a girl gets married, she gets married in toto. When a boy gets married, he gets married altogether. And we can privately recognize the fact that there are boys and girls in the world that don't fully realize that. They just imagine they're going to get married and still be what they were. Well, that's one thing they're going to find out. I can say to all of them with every assurance they'll be better than they ever were, but they're sure going to be different than they were. And the same thing is true with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. The person who becomes a member of the church as the bride of Christ has something happen that is complete and total, and it is final. So far as becoming a bride of Christ, a member of the bride of Christ is concerned, that marriage relationship entered into with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's intended to be forever. Marriage in the Bible is considered a permanent thing. In society, we've made something else out of it. But when husband and wife come together and they twain become one flesh, that's one, and there'll be no more in that sense that that's the last time that happens to either one of those. They now are different than they ever were before, and that's what is the case here. Also, it refers to the loving relationship, because after all, in being the bride of Christ, the church enters into a relationship where not only, as we have said, is she loved by the Lord, but she loves the Lord in her own way as well as she can. And we've already indicated, but I'll use the word again, exclusive. Because this is one of the things that you'll find in the epistles is brought out again and again about the church. And that is that it is the will of the Almighty God and the will of the Lord Jesus Christ that the church shall belong to Him only. In fact, James, in speaking about this, uses such rather hard language. He says, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" Well, that language is used indirectly referring to this very relationship. And it would imply that if the individual, as a bride, comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and then lets the heart be diverted to anything else in the world, that's just like a woman marrying a man and then letting her heart be diverted to other persons. And we would say that that's not the way it should be, and so it is with the church. As the bride of Christ, the church shares all He is. When that girl marries that man, and that's the figure we have in mind when you use the word bride, when that girl marries that man, whatever he is, she shares. He gives her his name, and she comes into his home, and from that time he's Mr. So-and-so, and she's Mrs. So-and-so. It's the so-and-sos that live in that house. And Mr. So-and-so is the man you see out there, and Mrs. So-and-so is the one that's over here on this side. But they all work together. In other words, she shares all he has. The bride may in herself have nothing. He may be a millionaire, but the minute that she marries him, she has a million, because she has everything that he has and shares everything that he is and everything that he has. That's worded in another way in the Bible, when the Bible speaks of us being heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Well, that's bringing out the same idea. All that he has becomes ours in the sense that we belong to him as his bride. And all that he does, we're involved in all that he does. Actually, when the church lives truly in this fashion of being the bride, and the Lord Jesus is interested in winning souls, the church will be interested in winning souls. If the Lord Jesus is interested in going to the ends of the earth to win the heathen people to God, the church is interested in going to the end of the world to win heathen people to God. The church shares all that he does. Not that she just reaps the results, but she actually participates in what's going on, the way the bride participates with her husband in the life that he lives. And from the other point of view, from another angle, you could say this way. the church gives all her heart to her husband, to her Lord. The church gives all. Now, her heart is what he wants. If she had money, that's all right. And if she had means or had standing or anything like that, that can be all right. But the main thing that she brings is her heart. And then she gives all her mind and she gives all her strength into this relationship where she's become the bride of her husband. Now, this expression, the church as the bride of Christ, gives an idea of the appropriate mind of a Christian. This is the way in which it will go. The appropriate mind of a Christian is that of being married to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a total communion and companionship with Christ Jesus as the beloved. It's final. We're not looking for anything else. It's personal. It involves each one of us individually. And it's constant. Communion. It's a case of feeling together. It's a case of being together and thinking together and companionship, walking together with Christ Jesus as the beloved. So that the church as the bride of Christ and the Lord as her Lord will be thinking together. Now, when we have that in mind, every one of us immediately realize that when the church is thinking together with the Lord Jesus Christ, it isn't as though the church had any contribution to make that would affect his mind. The figure breaks down just a little bit at that point, because when we think about husband and wife in this world and man and woman, the man and woman are obviously on an equal basis. But when we think of the church becoming the bride of Christ, we, every one of us, will have in mind that the Lord Jesus Christ is in himself God and the church wasn't. But she now, as she becomes a member of his body, becomes his body, and actually enters into a relationship with him, she will think his thoughts after him. And his thoughts will become her thoughts, and his feeling will become her feelings. And when that happens time and again when people get married, when they enter into when you find husband and wife living together in a normal married relationship, the one begins to think like the other and begins to feel like the other, and that's the way it is with the church.